your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. And welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
Isaac is here with me today because, well, you know, we got to talk about Indie PopCon. First of all, let me tell you, make sure you help support the podcast in any way you can. We've got t-shirts you can buy online that are just wonderful. Isaac's pulling a Zante on the microphone right now. He's turning his head as he breathes. Let me hear you sing Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Anyway, so yeah, support the podcast. You can click on the Amazon links, buy stuff from Amazon. We get some, you know, it helps support us. Also, if you click on the iTunes link, you can get some other things you can purchase from iTunes, although this stuff is free. But we've got lots of ways to support us, especially the t-shirt shop. You can click on the link and it'll send you to Cafe Press, cafepress.com/nerduppodcast. We got some great t-shirts that were designed by Tim Coker. Also, you can go to nerduppodcast.sellmytees.com, and there's some more stuff there. So there's all sorts of ways to support the podcast, keep us rolling, you know, help pay for that storage space. That's all I ask. Everything else, we do the fun stuff. Anyway, so we are just coming back from Indie PopCon. Isaac and I, and Eric was there too, but Eric's in rehearsals tonight, so that's why he couldn't join us. We were also going to get possibly a new member to the podcast on an occasion anyway, the Clown Prince of Cosplay, but he was tied up apparently tonight, so we couldn't get him. But we're going to summarize what happened at Indie PopCon. Also, at the last part of this podcast, we've got lots of interviews. We talked to a lot of people. We talked to Jason Keith Phillips, who's an artist that's going to be at NerdCon coming up in just a couple of weeks from now, July 11th at the Robinson Community Center. We also talked to Gavin Smith, an artist extraordinaire. Let me tell you, this guy, great stuff, great guy, fun to talk to. He does the artwork for the Accelerators comic, which I heard about on another podcast, the Comic Book Men. They do a podcast, and I heard about them creating this comic book about time travel, and I met the artist, Gavin, at the Indie PopCon, talked to him, so that interview is coming up. Also, we talked to Sam Jones. That's right, Flash Gordon himself.
Savior of the universe.
Anyway, we met up with Sam Jones, talked to him, and we talked to Malcolm Goodwin from iZombie, and let me tell you, he was a very genuine, fun guy to talk to, and just a really nice guy all around. We talked to Lloyd Kaufman about Troma. You know, he's the king of Tromaville. All those Toxic Avengers, Nukem High, gosh, Sergeant Kabuki Man.
He appeared on Angry Video Game Nerd. Which is
Is that right?
Angry Video Game Nerd is just a guy who reviews games, but like really crappy games.
Okay.
And being an angry video game nerd, he uses a lot of swear language. Mm-hmm. And Lloyd Kaufman was just like going perfectly with that episode.
I'll have to check that one out. But yeah, we talked to him. He was a fun guy to talk to as well. He was very energetic. He kept insisting that I talk to Tremalia, who was the female assistant who was helping push the product. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff. In fact, here on the podcast, we're going to link to their YouTube channel. They've got a lot of their movies free on YouTube. A lot of their movies are free. That's cool. Toxic Avenger 2, you got Nukem High 2 coming out. We'll talk about that. So lots of great interviews coming up. But first, Isaac, you and I attended the Indie PopCon. We got there on the Saturday morning, and big long lines getting in. We had to wait in line, seemed like for almost forever. But the worst lines were for the YouTubers.
It said in the pamphlet, what it be called?
Yeah.
It said that the four YouTubers that were there, the four most famous YouTubers that were there, had an estimated combination of subscribers that equaled about 13 million.
Holy cow.
But I was expecting it to be like last year, where there were a good amount of people that were going to be there for them, but I didn't expect it to be a six-hour line.
I know, right? Well, wasn't it like you stood in line to get a bracelet to go stand in line to get the autograph, something like that set up?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like that.
Wow.
And basically, I didn't say I was going to go see Markiplier, because the person right before me said they were. Like, they asked if you're here to see Markiplier or not. And basically they said to the person in front of me that you'd have to wait in line and not get out of line because it's a four-hour wait. It was a four-hour wait when we first got there. Then later in the day, it turned into a six-hour wait.
Wow.
So basically the exact opposite of carnival line rides. It didn't get any shorter. It got longer.
And here's the other aspect of it. All the YouTubers had a panel together. So who all was there? You got Jacksepticeye.
Markiplier, Lord Minion 777, more commonly known as Wade, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Myskirm. I think it's Myskirm.
Myskirm, okay.
And he's more known as Bob.
Why didn't he just go by Bob? It's a lot easier than everybody.
Because YouTube names have to be original.
Oh, I guess so. Okay. Bob's not original?
I think his last name is actually something related to Myskirm.
It's probably an anagram, I'll bet you.
Probably.
Somehow. Anyway. But yeah, so they were all there. And here's the cool thing. Okay, Eric Billingsley on the podcast here, he went to go see the panel with Edward James Olmos. He loves to hear actors talk about their craft. I mean, after all, Eric is an actor himself. I don't know. He kind of sticks around for it. But usually the fans have a bunch of stupid questions. And they're usually dumb. You know, really they are. And
it's like no matter what panel it is, even if it was one of the YouTubers' panels, it's you've got dumb questions everywhere.
And they happen. And so we kind of make a joke about that, but I don't know if he's going to leave for that or not. But he stayed for the Edward James Olmos. Immediately after was the YouTubers, all of them on stage together, all four or five of them. And the panel, okay, for Edward James Olmos, maybe about a quarter of the stage area full. And it was, you know, that's pretty good attendance for these shows, you know, for the panels and stuff like that. And even for John DiMaggio and Eric Stewart when they did their panel last year.
Yeah, there was maybe like 75%.
Yeah.
Maybe 50% taken up and 50%.
Yeah, we got up front, so I didn't look behind me.
I'm pretty sure there were a lot of people.
Okay, so there were a lot of people. Well, it was a smaller hall, too, last year, too. But anyway, so then the YouTubers take over, and they had to shut the entrance down because it was standing room only, and people they just couldn't get more people in there. And, I mean, this is a lot of people. And so we had, you know, we're over here in the con talking to people. In fact, I think in the Lloyd Kaufman interview, you can hear the crowd cheering. It's like really loud where we were.
From what I read on Twitter, that was actually them in the beginning. You know how, like, everybody had to have, they had the VIP seating?
Uh-huh.
Apparently that was two of the YouTubers stomping the VIP seating line, or not line, but the sign for VIP
seating. Oh, is that right?
Just so people could get a better view.
Yeah, that makes sense. It really does. And then again, it was just crowded. They couldn't let more people in. I mean, these guys, they knew how to bring in the crowd. They knew how to keep them entertained because there's laughter and all sorts going on. You could hear that going on. So,
I mean, one of them's Irish. What do you expect?
That kind of helps, too. Which one was Irish?
Jacksepticeye.
Okay. Was Andre the black nerd on there?
He wasn't with them because he's not like... Okay, so...
So they left out the black guy. Oh,
The four guys are... No, because like... Okay. The four guys that had the panel, that had the huge panel, they were Let's Players.
Okay.
But Andre and Gerard, the completionist, they're from a different entire like network.
Okay.
So they do like game reviews and stuff, not entire Let's Plays.
All right, I'll let them slide with that one then. They still left people out. Anyway, but yeah, it was crowded, and those guys just brought in everybody, and it really made it for a very crowded con. I heard, I think it was a local TV channel, saying that it was, I think they said like three times last year's
attendance. I think, if I remember correctly, something like 80% attendance boost is what I remember.
Is that right? Okay, so, okay, wow. So, you know, that's a... I mean, amazing. I mean, it was fun. We had a blast. So Isaac, he cosplayed as Vegeta and had his picture taken by about a bazillion people.
Yet I can't find any of them on the internet.
I know. Well, I probably shared only on Facebook, and unless you're friends with him, you might not see it and stuff like that, which kind of stinks. But yeah,
I looked on Twitter, and I would expect them to have at least some. But
yeah, but found a couple. Well, the guy's holding the contest. But yeah, I mean, he dressed up as Vegeta. Check out the Nerd Up Podcast Facebook page. You'll see the photos from the event and some of the other cosplayers. We had a fun time with them.
Or check out Symbiotes, my page, and I have a few of my pictures, and then that what's his name, I don't remember the website's name, the guy that took my picture professionally, and he had like all of the cosplayers. So I uploaded his picture and a picture that I was using for reference pose, like the actual artwork of Vegeta in the Saiyan saga, and I uploaded them side by side just so you could get a good view of what
you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cosplayers. I mean, once again, great assortment. What out of all the cosplayers, did you see any that struck out and were your favorites?
Probably my most favorite was the one that was a guy, he went as Goku, and he had like a 3-year-old son, and his 3-year-old son was dressed up like Gohan from the very beginning of Dragon Ball Z. Also, there was a, I didn't get my picture with her, but there was a really good Rose Quartz cosplayer.
Mm.
She had like the perfect curls in her hair, the right shade of pink in her hair color. It's like, I didn't see any other better ones.
There were a lot of really good ones. One of the things I enjoyed, there was a guy dressed up as Emperor Palpatine, and he was on a Segway, and whenever he would put the curse on you or the lightning bolt thing in the movie, mm-hmm. he would glide across the floor, and it was just hilarious to watch, but creepy at the same time. Folks dressed up as the black and white comic version of The Walking Dead, that was unique.
Oh, yeah, they all had like their... They had the face paint arranged perfectly so it looked like they were in a comic book. Like, they had the entire white, and then they had, like, the black comic lines.
Yep.
And then some of the gray mixed in to blend it.
And it looked just like they stepped out of a comic book, black and white comic book page.
Also, they painted their shirts like that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they even had pockets that they had to paint. So that must have, even though it looked simple, it probably took quite a while.
I'll bet it did. And it looked really nice, really neat. And when you see a picture of them together, it looks like you're looking at a black and white photo. It's interesting. And the cosplay contest itself, it was pretty cool. The winners that won were really good. One of the guys, Rashad from Face Off, he was there at the Indie PopCon. And there was one amateur cosplayer. He went up to her. After her, she came off the stage, he ran up to her and they were changing information. It was like, that was how good her costume was. It was from a video game. I remember that much. But anyway, yeah, he went up to her and they exchanged information. It's like, and she was. It was that good. And she was amateur. So it was really good. So yeah, it was a great turnout. Cosplay was fun. Just walking around. What do they call those people outside? Cosplayers, sort of, that are not cosplayers? Home something?
Oh, Homestuck.
Oh, yeah. The Homestuckers were there.
They always are.
Paying for the ticket to get in, just sitting out in the hallway and dressed up with the horns and gray face.
And the curly black hair.
Yeah, it was like
and
weird.
The minimal effort.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, very weird.
And their terrible fandom.
But anyway, so it was a great PopCon. They had vendors galore. We bought some good stuff. We got some great artwork. In fact, we bought some artwork from Jason Keith Phillips, who's going to be at NerdCon. We bought a Goku painting he did, which I thought was awesome.
It looked really cool.
It's like the colors in that thing just... it out. So, all right, well, let's get on with the podcast. I got some great interviews coming up for you. Malcolm Goodwin from iZombie, Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, Lloyd Kaufman from Troma, all the Toxic Avenger movies, the brains behind all that. We talked with him. Also, Jason Keith Phillips and Gavin Smith. Hey, stick around. We got some great interviews coming up. Nerd Up Podcast. All right, Guilty Wilson here with Nerd Up Podcast, and I'm here talking with celebrity extraordinaire Malcolm Goodwin. Malcolm, as you probably know from iZombie recently, a lot of people know him from Breakout Kings. I had to go back and look at that one because I never watched it before. It didn't seem like my type of material, but iZombie is. So I'm like, well, let's go check out his other work. So with Malcolm Goodwin here at Indie PopCon, Malcolm, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to be here.
Which has been the biggest hit for you as a fan base? Is it iZombie or Breakout Kings?
You know, it's been iZombie, but it's funny how Breakout Kings has exploded on Netflix. You know, it seems like I get so many questions about Breakout Kings more than when it was actually on the air.
That sometimes is the case when something it becomes a cult favorite. You know, I mean, like for example, here at tonight at Indie PopCon, they're going to show Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
It wasn't any good when it first came out, but see, now people are realizing how good you are. So let me ask you this. When you got on the show iZombie, knowing it's based on a comic book, did it change any of your method of acting or anything like that?
No, I approach it the same way I approach every role, in terms of doing the research. I did read the source material, although the TV show is more inspired from the comic book, not really adapted. The only character that exists in our world is Liv, which in the comic book her name is Gwen. But all the other characters, there's no detective, there's no Robbie, there's no Major and Blaine in the comic book. So I read the comic book, and I also did ride-alongs with police officers, detectives, because I was playing a rookie detective, and just did a lot of research about what that is. You know, your first year on the job as a detective.
Yeah, so I think that's really what makes it work is that you didn't take it into effect that it's a comic book. You're doing it like a police officer, a detective, and now. I got to tell you, one of my favorite moments in the whole series is whenever you came in and there's a pizza and it's got the brains on it, like, you know, Liv has, and you take a bite of it and it's like, "Is this got mushrooms?" That whole thing, the whole thing building up to that is just, you took me by surprise. Little scenes like that, is there anything special you do, or is it just spur of the moment?
You know, it's just giving into the circumstances. I mean, Clive is sitting there being greedy. I think from the other episode, he sits there, he got his nose all up in her food, and he's like, "What is this, shrimp?" You know, or as Raul and I, we always make a joke. We go scrumps. We do that sometimes. And then the pizza scene. It was my first time eating the brains, and it's made out of gelatin, and it doesn't. It's terrible, especially on cheese pizza, top with everything. You know, olives and mushrooms. So, if you can ever. If the outtakes are ever released of that scene, man, people will be rolling, man. We broke a few times on that, shooting that.
I can imagine. I guess it was a realistic response then, so that works out great.
Yeah.
A little inside, any ideas on the future of iZombie?
Well, we come back October 6th. We start shooting a month from now, July 20th. We all head back to Vancouver, and we start start filming. I can tell you it's going to be more action packed, more suspenseful, funnier. You know, obviously we're just trying to get better and improve. And the ideas that they have so far are incredible.
Any secrets you can break?
No, you know, I don't ask. I want to be surprised every episode. I could ask, but I don't ask.
Good point. Good idea, too, actually, because it really, you don't want to break character. See? That's
exactly.
It. Yeah.
Because Clive doesn't know. Clive actually doesn't know. So I'm like, well, Malcolm, I don't want to know either.
That's a good approach. Over your career, now, what has been your favorite? I mean, I went and you've played bit parts on different shows. You've been on Breakout Kings. You're on iZombie. I even saw you in Wayward Pines, which I fell in love with Wayward Pines, and all of a sudden I'm watching, and there's you as a psychologist. I'm like, holy crap!
Yeah,
So what else you got planned?
Well, I mean, I started off in theater and doing feature films, and you know, American Gangster, Leatherheads, America is St. Anna. I mean, there's been so many features that I've done before transitioning to TV. But in terms of currently, I have a movie called Run All Night, which stars Liam Neeson, Ed Harris, Joe Kinnaman. That just came out on Blu-ray, DVD, VOD, on demand, whatever with a D after it. digital. It came out digitally on June 16th, so people can watch that. I mean, it's a fun, great film. And iZombie. iZombie's been taking up all my time, and I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, we are too. I tell you what, I just, like I said, it's one of those things that my son said, "You got to watch that. It's a really cool show." I'm like, well, I don't know, because I'm getting tired of zombies. Okay, no offense to you.
No offense taken. Yeah.
And he said we got to watch this, and so we watched it, and I just fell in love with it from day one. The first episode, the thing I love most about it is, it's going to sound like I'm kissing your butt right here, but I love the fact that you're a clueless into what she really is, cop,
yeah.
And yet you're solving these crimes, and I love the whole reaction between the two of you, because
yeah.
It's like you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about what I love about Clive is the fact that he's an odd man out. You know, he's a rookie detective coming from a kind of rough reputation he built for himself when he was on Vice, so he's trying to reclaim his name, you know, in that, and you know, he's a low man on a totem pole. And then you got Liv, who's a zombie, and no one knows. So she's an odd personality as well. And so, but we come together to help for a common good,
yeah,
in terms of helping each other out and finding a purpose.
Well, I wish you luck in all the future, because I'm hoping iZombie lasts for at least another 20 series or seasons, because I'm loving it. I don't know if you want to be stuck in it for 20 seasons, but I would love to see it go on.
Hey, as long as they keep me good, I would stay on board. So
good to hear. Well, thanks, Malcolm Goodwin. You can catch him on iZombie. I'm telling you, it's one of the coolest shows you haven't watched yet. Thanks again, Malcolm.
Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it.
Podcast. The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-824-5131 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-824-5131.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Nerd Up Podcast.
Guilty Wilson with the Nerd Up Podcast, and I'm sitting here with Gavin Smith, the artist for, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the Accelerators comic is one of my favorites because of the concept behind it. But Gavin is the artist behind the Accelerators. Gavin, how long have you been doing comic art?
Well, I've been drawing my entire life. I got real serious about it back around 2007, started building a portfolio, and applied to the Joe Kubert School and got accepted in 2008. Went there for three of the most intense years of my life and graduated in 2011.
Nice. Joe Kubert School. I guess there's none higher, so that's, you know, kind of like the Juilliard of comic artists. You got involved on the, now I know the background story to the Accelerators comic because I listened to the podcast from the Comic Book Men, and that's what got me interested in the story, but you guys got connected through the internet, is that correct?
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of a long roundabout story how they found me. Actually, not really. I can dial it down. When I was living in New Jersey going to Kubert, during the summer, I worked in TV production. So I worked on Project Runway for a summer. And since all the guys that started Blue Juice Comics are TV production guys, they work behind the scenes on Comic Book Men. That's how they know Mike and Ming and Walt and all those guys. So kind of through the grapevine, there were just some people that worked on Comic Book Men that worked on Project Runway. And after I put out my first self-published book, Human City, I sent one to one of my buddies who worked on Project Runway, and he passed it off to them. And that's how they found me, and they really liked my art. And it was funny, I was actually working with one of the guys who owns Blue Juice Comics now on Project Runway. Just didn't know him at the time.
Wow. Now, so basically, you guys are all working TV together. How did you guys think, oh, a comic book? How did that come about?
Well, this is all their idea. I think them working on the set of Comic Book Men, they thought of the idea and they really seemed to like it. And it was kind of just a tryout venture at first. But once they got going with it, they kind of fell in love with the business. And now they're going full steam ahead. We're on volume 2 of Accelerators. We just put out our 8th issue. And number two, yeah, that's all right. I'll get you caught up. But and then, you know, they've got another series. Tim Yates is doing a great pirate series called Anne Bonny. They're about to start doing a new project. I don't know if I can announce it yet. They haven't said anything about it. But like, they also just put out a children's book. They're doing a horror anthology. They're doing so much with this company, and it all started with Accelerators and just kind of a silly idea.
And well, I think that's the way that it should work out. A nice, silly idea and get a bunch of creative people together and boom, you got a company. Well, I got to ask you, what were you doing on Project Runway?
I was the, let me try to think of my title, talent assistant. So I was the, and what it meant was I was really the overnight guy. So, you know, just in case something went terribly wrong in the middle of the night, I was the guy that was there from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m., so, like, you know, I'd show up for work for about 2 hours, chill for about 8 hours, and then work for another 2 hours and go home.
And just collect an easy paycheck.
Yeah. Okay. I'd help out all the eliminated contestants and stuff and put them to bed and, you know.
Oh, that's good. You mop up their tears and everything else. Okay, I can see that. Any future projects you got in the works for yourself?
Yeah. There's a couple of pitches I'm working on with a couple people. Paul Aller, who writes Ninja Turtle stuff, he and I are working together. I just, last weekend, actually picked up a gig. I'll be doing 8 pages in Mark Kidwell's book, 68. That comes out next year.
So we can look forward to more stuff from you. Like I said, I was intrigued by the storyline after hearing the podcast of Accelerators, and then hearing how they put the team together and everything. It was just such a neat story. And then, again, I didn't even know you were going to be here at Indie Popcon. You said it was apparently a last-minute deal, too. So
yeah, they got me on about a week and a half ago. Sean, one of the showrunners, they had me on last year. I did some art for their beer that they ended up putting out. And then I didn't think I was going to be able to make it this year, but Sean gave me a call, and my schedule freed up. freed up enough that I had time to even do a poster for them. So I have an exclusive poster. They only have, I guess they gave them out with the VIPs, but I only got about five left. So.
Oh, wow. Well, I got a VIP with me. I'm going to just make sure that poster's in there. So, all right. Well, once again, Gavin Smith, artist for the Accelerators. For that's where you can find him most, or at least the one I like best. Great work. And thanks a lot, Gavin, for taking the time for me.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Guilty Wilson here with the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm talking to artist Jason Phillips, and he's going to also be at NerdCon in Robinson, Illinois. Jason, how you doing today?
Great, man. Good to see you.
All right, we got you signed up for NerdCon coming up to display there, but I'm meeting up with you right now at Indie PopCon. And first thing I got to say, I'm actually seeing your artwork up close rather than on a computer screen. And let me tell you, man, this stuff really sticks out. What goes through your mind? I mean, some of these pictures, I mean, this guy here. It's like you see like Van Gogh or something?
This is actually just a floating head fun piece I did for the hell of it of my admiration for Muscle Men from the 80s. Yeah, Muscle Men are, that's my jam right there.
Nice. Okay. Well, I mean, you got this, your artwork, I mean, it just pops. I'm not sure whether it's the vibrant colors. Well, I'm looking at a black and white one here too. It stands out too. Well, but you just pop with your artwork. So it's really good that you're going to be coming out to NerdCon. But what got you started doing all this artwork stuff?
Ever since the motor skills kicked in, I've always loved to draw. But I'll have to give another shout out to my man Grant Gold, who's like, a lot of people know him for his Star Wars work he does. But he is a friend of mine from back in, I don't know if you guys know LiveJournal. Remember the LiveJournal days? Like, that was my jam too. But we've been friends for a long time, and he's always on me about getting sketchbooks and getting something going. And he actually got me on the Lord of the Rings sketch card set, so I started drawing more. I honestly never really even colored anything, and so I started doing sketch cards, and I started to start, like, in the last, it's like a new renaissance for me where I just started pushing myself more and more, and now I'm just working on trying to get my book out.
Now, what book is that?
It's called Dreadlock. I brought this up, so I always want to get the pitch right, but this is book one is to tell the story of an alternate universe called Earth, being used as a backdrop for the Friend's much-needed intervention. Dreadlock thinks he saved this realm from all of its prominent evils, only to find this is a terribly untrue, find out what happens next, and get a glimpse of how it all began. And that's like a book of mine. It's autobiographical, too. Like, I can remember where I created stuff. Like, Dreadlock, I remember I created it during my sophomore year during English class and got in trouble for it. No more drawing in class, so I've had this since I was a kid, and now I'm just like, trying to get that out there and get to the next level.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, like you said, you're just doing sketch and then you later started doing color. The way your use of color is just awesome. I'm really appreciating your use of color. That's really, I mean, if it's just it's a fairly new thing for you, you're doing it right. So now one thing, now your company is Mayonnaise and Bread, is that what it is?
Mayonnaise and Bread is like from an old roommate of mine. He coined the phrase. It's really nothing to it special. It's just a stupid inside joke that I was like, man, I want to make that my handle for online because I mean, my name is Jason Phillips. No offense to any Jasons out there, but it's just like there's a ton of them, and I just want to have some kind of something to be like, remember that instead. And
yeah, definitely Mayonnaise and Bread definitely sticks out.
I don't even like mayonnaise either, so that's
funny. Oh man, now we're enemies.
Hey man, it's and more power to you, but yeah, I don't know. I used to like it when I was a kid. For some reason, I just don't like it anymore.
All right. Now, so where do you see yourself in about 5-10 years from now?
Right now, I want to get this book one done up, ready to go, and I'll have it. I want that to be my main focus at shows when you see me. You won't see as much fan art anymore when I get that going, and I'm going to get book two started pretty much right after that. But what I want to do is I actually have a kid's book I've had kicking around for a while. I want to do that before I start this next thing too, but just 5 years from now I'd like to be full-time doing what I do. Like I work full-time right now, and I'm trying to get toward the next level, man. Next level.
Yeah, so basically the next level will be just all you do is get paid to sit down and draw pictures.
Yeah, self-publishing and just enjoying being able to tour the book, you know.
Jason, and Mayonnaise and Bread. Yeah. I mean, my brother used to eat Mayonnaise and Bread sandwiches only.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. When I was a kid, I loved it. Now I don't, but honestly, I loved sweet pickles, mayonnaise, and cheese sandwiches.
Sounds really good.
It sounds gross, but it was good when I was a kid.
All right. Well, Jason, thanks a lot for talking to me today. We'll see you at NerdCon on July 11th.
Yeah, man. Look forward to it. Thanks, man.
Nerd Podcast.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-440-2534. That's 800-440-2534.
Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson with Nerd Up Podcast, here with the king of trauma himself, Lloyd Kaufman, producer, director, actor. I mean, you have created this whole trauma thing. First of all, it's an honor to meet you, sir.
Well, at the Guilty Wilson, I've worked for 50 years to get on the Guilty Wilson show, and I'm here with Super Traumette Traumalia. Tell us about Guilty Wilson. What do you know about Guilty Wilson?
They're not so innocent.
True. Now, ever since I saw the Toxic Avenger, did you know you were going to create this whole entity when you started making a film like that?
Well, I knew that Traumalia was going to come along when we were back in 1974, so I did all this to impress Traumalia, Super Traumette. And the Toxic Avenger is now a household word, and it's all thanks to our fans, really, Guilty Wilson.
Are you impressed?
Very.
What else?
With this body of work.
There, so many. I mean, I don't know. It's just so off the wall with the productions you do. I mean, who thinks of this stuff? Where does this come from?
Well, I've had I lived in a basement tied to a radiator for 20 years. Then I went to Yale University, and now I'm Lloyd Kaufman, president of Trauma and creator of the Toxic Avenger. And Lloyd Kaufman has a mind that is very warped. So Michael Herz and I both think alike, and we make these amazing trauma movies. Have you seen Return to Nukem High Volume 1? Because Super Traumalia, tell us about Return to Nukem High Volume 1. What's your favorite part?
All of the gore, all the blood, and all the squishings. And just so you know, Volume 2 is coming out just because of people like you.
Big fans like this. Now, besides...
Explain that. Why is it coming? How did we get the money to make Volume 2, Traumalia?
From all the donations from wonderful fans, like the listeners of The Guilty Show.
Well, we did a Kickstarter, and our fans, we have no money. We're totally bust. And the Trauma fans put up $60,000 so we could finish Volume 2 of Return to Nukem High. You can hear them cheering. Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD is in the other room, and the fans are cheering.
So what is the future of Trauma? What's happening? I mean, you got Volume 2 coming out. What else is going to be going on after that?
We're totally broke. Are you kidding? We're dead. We're
you
f***ing
too.
Dead. Can you subscribe to our... We have a very good YouTube channel. It's all free, and Traumalia has put up 250 new and old Trauma movies on the YouTube channel. So go to YouTube, Trauma channel. It's all free, 250 movies, plus shorts, plus make your own damn movie lessons, which I have personally filmed based on my 6 books. So it's a whole world of entertainment, and Traumalia has created most of it. So please go into the wonderful Trauma channel on YouTube, all free, and we've got almost 100,000 subscribers.
Well, you're going to have 100,001 after me. But what's the YouTube channel name?
It is Trauma Videos, correct?
Trauma Channel. Trauma Channel.
Trauma okay. Channel.
Or Trauma Movies. Trauma Movies.
Just search Trauma on YouTube. You're going to get there.
You can't miss it. Can't miss it.
I'm Mr. Kaufman and Traumalia. That's awesome to meet you guys. Thank you very much for your body of work and wish you more success.
Well, thank you. I have my body actually, I'm growing breasts right now. So as a mature gentleman of a certain age, that happens. So my body of work is becoming my body of worse.
All right, Guilty Wilson here with the Nerd Up Podcast, and I'm here with Flash Gordon himself, Sam Jones. Oh, my gosh, it's a great honor to meet you, sir.
Okay, Guilty Wilson, good to meet you.
You've got the iconic figure of being Flash Gordon, okay? That's a career that just, I mean, how long did that last for you?
Well, it hasn't stopped.
That's what I was
going
to
say. Yeah, it's still going.
Well, I know, and then I saw in Ted, I went and saw the movie Ted, and there you go, reprising your role, but kind of doing a parody of yourself, in a sense. And it's like, oh my gosh, and then there's a rebirth of Flash Gordon, and it's I've made my son watch it, and he's like, this is one of the greatest movies ever. So getting into the movie Flash Gordon, okay, before that, you served in the United States Marines, correct?
Yes, I did, yep.
And first of all, thank you for your service.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And so as a fellow veteran, I got to honor people that come out of something like that and into acting. So what is it that got you to get into the role of Flash Gordon? What was it that made you want to do that?
Well, I just went to an audition. Dino De Laurentiis wanted to see me for it. You know, it's not like, I mean, as an actor, unless you're a bankable name like a Liam Neeson or a Tom Cruise or a Denzel Washington, you're not going to go out and say, hey, I want to do this. When you're young and you're starting out, you basically take what you can get. And so I was fortunate enough that he wanted to see me for that part. And one thing led to another and turned out to be a major blessing.
I would definitely say so. Now, how old were you when you did Flash Gordon?
25.
Wow, little kid. So now, what prior to doing Flash Gordon, what other kind of roles were you doing?
Well, I just had one other movie before that, the film 10. Bo Derek and I were married, and then a couple TV shows, and that was it, really.
That's right. I forgot about 10. My gosh. Yeah. So now, again, you've reprised your role in the movie Ted, and in now Ted 2. You conduct the marriage or something like that. I haven't seen the movie. I saw the preview. So now, how does that feel to act as yourself in a movie?
Well, it's, you know, as you said, I did a parody. I did a spoof on me. You know, it was sprinkles or pieces or parts of Sam J. Jones as Flash Gordon. So, yeah, it was, you know, we were going back and forth on exactly how I should do it. So I just combined a lot of different elements and likenesses of me and probably dislikenesses.
Yeah, I'd say there's some scenes in there what I'd say don't represent Sam Jones, but they're funny in the movie and they make it that much better. So what kind of future plans can we see from you?
Oh yeah, I'm going ahead forward. We have three projects in development that I was asked not to talk about. Of course we do. There's a documentary that they're filming on me now called Life After Flash, and it's an ongoing process, probably going through till November, and really looking forward to that.
Interesting. That would be an interesting watch. I'd like to see that. Out of all your entire career, of course, we all know everybody, you know, again, that's why you came back to play yourself in Ted, and that's why Flash Gordon. But out of all your career, other than Flash Gordon, what do you think has been the best thing you've done?
You mean other than the film career?
Well, including the film career.
Well, I think the best thing I've ever done in my life is, you know, gotten over me, you know, because it's not about me. It's, you know, it's not about the individual. It's about this very unique thing happens when you put other people first in your life. You know, I know God has a sense of humor, but it's pretty simplistic. But especially, I guess I'm talking about my wife. If I put my wife first, then this magical thing happens. If I put her first and not think about me, then I can basically get anything I want, anytime I want, you see. It's been wonderful. It's been a great adventure. Of course, with Flash Gordon, it's opened up a lot of opportunity, a lot of doors, and I'm just blessed to be part of this adventure and ride.
Thank you for taking the time with us today. And I want to also personally thank you for being a hero of mine growing up.
Well, you're very welcome.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait.
800-489-1397. 800-489-1397. 800-489-1397. That's 800-489-1397. Podcast.
All right, well, that was it for the Indie PopCon 2015. I'm going to go next year. What about you?
I don't know. If you're going, I'm probably going.
Well, did you have fun enough?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Actually, Ryan's not going to be in the musical next year, so I might be able to get him and Joey to do a group cosplay with
me. Yeah, we did take one of your friends and his brother this time, and they had a blast too. So, yeah, we even played a game. We went back, and it was great because Isaac actually let me sit down for 5 minutes. But
weren't walking around in the boots.
But we went and sat and played a board game, the Sea of Soros or Soros, I don't know. Anyway, it was a really cool board game, and I actually got to sit down for a minute. But they had all sorts of games you could play just for free, just for fun. Halo Championships were going on. That was just nuts.
It was cool looking because there was a whole bunch of fog in the room.
Yeah, I don't know why they kept putting the fog in the room. That was weird. It's like a big sporting event. They had the lights going and the music, and they had the guys on stage calling the play-by-play, and you got big screens on the walls showing some of the players. It was just bizarre. And then when they had the countdown, you'd have one of the guys going 5, 4. I mean, it was nuts. So it was actually like a sporting event. I think the winner got $50,000, or the winning team got $50,000.
Yeah, it was the winning team, I'm pretty sure.
And if the winning team gets $50,000, so much for not moving out of your parents' basement.
It's like even the cosplay contest, the professional ones were only $1,500 for the top prize.
Yeah.
Sauron.
But they get to be featured on next year's pass.
True, but I still don't think that's the equivalent to $50,000.
Oh, yeah, maybe not. So,
like,
but
that's
anyway.
Enough to buy a small house.
And, oh, man, it was nuts. So, but it was a good time. Good time to be had by all. I wish I would have got to try out all the features. I didn't get to try Artemis. There was the Endless Dungeon, which I thought was... I think it was
just D&D, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, endless D&D game. And then they had panels galore. I didn't get to attend any of those. They had movies. Oh, man. Some people said too many movies or less movies, more panels. I don't know. I think they had a great mix. They had a lot of panels, and they had a lot of movies.
I'm just disappointed there wasn't as many cosplayers as there was last year.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit less. Yeah, there were a lot less, actually.
At least walking around, but... Even the cosplay, like, contest attendance seemed kind of low.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. So, well, maybe next year. Hear that, guys? Get dressed, look good, go to Indie PopCon. So, in the meantime, don't forget NerdCon 2015 coming up July 11th, Robinson Community Center. Get your tickets now. You can go to gil510.wix.com/NerdCon to check out the webpage, or you can find Nerd Day Crawford County, or just look up NerdCon on Facebook. And we've got the event coming up July 11th. Be there. We've got some great artists. We've got Philo Barnhart, the creator of The Little Mermaid. We've got Charles Moisant. We've got, Jason Keith Phillips, Michael Kaysinger.
Aaron Rabe and Brady Hall.
Aaron Rabe and Brady Hall. Aaron Rabe does, Aaron's girlfriend, Cubby. Aaron does cosplay as Captain Jack Sparrow. Brady, of course, is the clown prince of cosplay, the Joker, and they're all going to be entertaining. There's going to be a comedy show with Aaron Rabe, and Brady will be walking around announcing his presidency, by the way.
He doesn't cosplay the Joker. He is the Joker. What are you talking
about? I know, right? Exactly.
Wait,
exactly.
So what day of the week is it?
That is Saturday, July 11th, from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Be there! Saturday, Saturday, Saturday.
I knew that's what you were wanting to do.
I knew it.
You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only use the edge. So anyways, that's coming up. Make sure you attend that. In the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter, at Gil Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson, and I don't use Twitter that much.
Much, much, much. So anyways, that's it for the Nerd Up podcast this time.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-624-1350, 800-624-1350, 800-624-1350. That's 800-624-1350.